Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Fast and Testimony meeting in this, the Heatheridge 6th Ward. I'm Bishop Misbach, and I'm very pleased to welcome you here today. It's a beautiful summer day and a great place to be here, spending time together, worshiping and sharing testimonies. First, I'll excuse my two counselors, Mike Roberts and Chris Beckstead, are both out of town, and so I appreciate Andrew Beckman, our Elders Quorum President, who's joined me on the stand today. I have a few items of business and announcements to cover. First of all, there is no program. As you walked into the meeting today, our copy machine was not working, so I apologize. You don't have a program. You feel like you just don't quite know what to do when you sit down without a program. So I hope that's the last of any complications we have, because I'm on my own. I've got Brother Beckman, who I appreciate, but my counselors aren't here, so I hope that everything goes smoothly from here. We've got our first kink out of the way and our last, hopefully. So without a program, let me just mention a few things. First of all, we're very grateful to those who have fulfilled the invitation to help clean the building. We do it in the summer months, and we make assignments that if you just fulfill that assignment one time, it's a once a year deal. So you just help come clean the church on Saturday morning at 9:00. And we post that in the announcements, but since you don't have it in front of you, I'm just going to read to you the families that have been invited for next week. The Shaw family, Larry and Susan, the Jim Johnson family, the Jeff Hamilton family, the Doug Bell family, Robert Murdoch family, Scott Jenkins, Ron Wilkinson, and Mark Perrett families have all been invited next Saturday at 9 a.m. If you're available. If you're not, Brother Shaw has been assigned to be kind of the team leader next week. So you could he would appreciate hearing from you. And then the following week, hopefully we'll have a program, so we'll be able to see that. Now, we have the entire schedule posted at our ward information website, which is not part of LDS.org, and that address is in the program each week, which again, you don't have in front of you. But if you want to look, you can find where it's for the entire summer. All right, that was my first announcement. I've got a few more, so bear with me. Today is our monthly teaching council. So this is something we've been doing for several months, and those who are teachers are asked to come either during the second hour or the third hour, whichever your schedule permits, in the last section of the gym where there's a teacher council meeting. Those are great meetings, and I encourage your attendance there. So because of that meeting, we will not hold Melchizedek priesthood opening exercises. You will just go directly to your class. There will be no fast offering collection today by deacons, so please make your fast offering contribution personally or online. And finally, I think this is finally, we're pleased today to initiate a pilot program that was mentioned last Sunday. Our stake is one of only 16 stakes in the entire church who was asked for this summer to implement a pilot program in Relief Society and in Melchizedek priesthood meetings. So you'll hear a little bit more about that in those in your priesthood or Relief Society meeting, but we have this pilot program that we've been looking into. We talked about it as a ward council. Stake leaders were trained in it by our stake leadership, and I will just say you'll learn more about that when you attend Priesthood and Relief Society today, but appreciate your faith, prayers, and full involvement, and the church will be asking for our feedback about how it went, and then they'll go from there. Let me just say on that it seems to be following the trend that we're having with the youth curriculum, and now the Sunday school curriculum, and now it seems to be going toward the other adult classes, which is Priesthood and Relief Society. And I believe it is an inspired and appropriate direction for us to go in the way we do our lessons. So I have high hopes for this program. And that concludes all of my announcements. So we will be pleased now to begin this meeting by singing hymn number 139, In Fasting We Approach Thee, following which the invocation will be offered by Brother Jay Cranmer.
Kind and gracious eternal Father, we, Father, a body of thy saints, have been gathered this day to participate in this fast and testimony meeting, to partake of the sacrament, to renew our baptismal covenants. We're grateful, Father, for the daily blessings that thou dost extend to us, those blessings that are readily recognizable, those blessings that are often secret blessings. We'd ask at this time, Father, for a special blessing upon President Monson, that he may know of our love and concern for him at this time. Bless him, Father, according to thy will. Bless us, Father, that we'll live our lives in such a manner that we'll be able to have the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost with us, and that we will be a temple-loving and attending people. We love thee, Father, we love the Savior, and we offer this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Last week I was out of town and missed being with you in sacrament meeting, but I was pleased to listen to the meeting later by recording, and listening to it is not the same as being here, and I have grown to really appreciate time spent in this sacred meeting and the spiritual regeneration that occurs by worshiping together. I was touched listening to the messages last week. There were great messages from the High Council and from our own Brother Martinez, and especially from our dear stake president, President Evans, who I love and sustain, and I give my endorsement to his counsel that he gave last week, and my testimony that as we follow the counsel of our priesthood leaders, those who have been given keys to administer and minister to us, that our lives will be blessed. And I know that that is true. As we follow the counsel that President Evans gave us last week and that he has given us in the past, our lives will be blessed. Now, as much as I miss spending time in our own sacrament meetings, there is an element of attending another ward's meeting that I do enjoy. When I'm traveling and I just pull up the LDS Tools app, and you can very quickly find the nearest meeting house and the next available sacrament meeting and just travel there and just show up. It's a technological marvel, and it's amazing to me how You can do it just about anywhere in the world. Just about anywhere you are, you can just immediately go find a sacrament meeting. And that was the case last week with Debbie and I. So we showed up randomly to a meeting, and one of the things I enjoy on occasion is not being in charge. I just sit on the back row and watch as things unfold. And I sit with my arm around my wife, something I don't get to do very often in sacrament meeting. So it's an enjoyable experience in that regard. So this happened last week. We came into a sacrament meeting, and it was a beautiful reminder of how the gospel is the same anywhere you go, and how the Spirit of the Holy Ghost touches hearts the same in every congregation. We sat there listening to three wonderful talks of strangers, people we didn't know, but the things that they said rang true. It was almost as if we knew them. It was almost as if we were friends, because we could relate with what they were saying. The first speaker talked about her participation in a program that their stake was doing on self-reliance, a program that our stake is beginning as well. And so it was interesting to hear her testify of principles of self-reliance that she had known her whole life as a member of the church, but it was learning and seeing in new ways that were making a difference in her life. The second speaker was a gentleman who I was very touched by, because he shared the very heartfelt experience that he'd had in being converted to the gospel, and how the Spirit worked on him, how his prayers were answered, how the prayers of loved ones around him were answered on his behalf, and how his testimony had grown to a point of changing his life entirely. And I was appreciative of how he was willing to share some tender experiences and feelings, and reminded of how that process works universally. It's worked with each of us and works globally. Then the concluding speaker was a young man who was leaving on a mission, a great big offensive lineman who first had the appearance of a pretty tough kid, somebody you might be intimidated by or scared to meet in different circumstances. Looked very intimidating. But that quickly dissipated as he shared his thoughts and emotions and the spiritual journey he had in preparing to serve a mission. So as he was talking about graduating from high school and all of a sudden being faced with big decisions, real decisions of life that a young man was unaccustomed to, it was very touching how he shared the process of praying, and again, the influence of those around him, his leaders, his teachers, his coaches, and how he overcame fear and doubt in order to decide to serve a mission. It was particularly touching as we listened to him talk, and he talked about going on to play college football, and
His story sounded similar to our own son's story. And then he said that he was playing football at Southern Virginia University, where our son played. And we thought, well, isn't that a coincidence? So again, I violated my texting and church policy. This is the second time I'm standing before you with that apology. But I sent a quick text message to our son, and he replied back and said how wonderful that was. Because this was his friend. And a young man who our son had associated closely with and had in some way been an influence in this man's decision to serve a mission. Do you ever find yourself saying, what are the odds? What are the odds? What are the odds of little things like this happening that strengthen faith? What are the odds that we would pick a meeting randomly out of how many meetings that we could choose and how many locations in the country and find someone that we could hear that talk and share it with our son and greet him afterward and see his excitement as he met a friend's parents who came to his to hear him talk before he left on a mission. What are the odds? And I find myself saying that almost on a daily basis. What are the odds that these both small and large miracles can happen in my life regularly, maybe even on a daily basis? It's not just the odds. It's evidence of a miracle of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the miracle of a wonderful plan designed carefully for each of us by a loving Heavenly Father that is not a coincidence, but happens for a reason. I am so grateful for that plan, so thankful for a loving Heavenly Father, so thankful for the miracle of prayer and answers to it, so grateful for my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I leave with you in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the time is yours to share your testimony with us. And I invite you to come forward. And as you do so, if you share your name, we'll get to know you, and so will those who may be listening to this afterward. We'll conclude just a few minutes after the hour. Thank you.
My name is Tammy Hill, and I'm grateful to stand and share my testimony today. Thank you. That's a little better. This last week has been filled with a lot of emotions for my heart and for my family. Jeff and I have planned and saved for a few years to bring our adult children, our 12 children and their spouses, to Hawaii for a week. And we were able to spend last week together with 9 of our 12 children and their spouses and had such a wonderful time. And Nearly 11 years ago, Jeff and I were married. The week after our honeymoon, we moved into this ward. And so you've been able to observe the progress that we've made in our blended family, which I don't think blended is a great word. I use stewed because we're still chunky. But it's been quite a process and a very difficult one at times, where both of us, I think, felt like this might be more than either of us could do. And yet, as we observed our children together, playing and loving each other, hiking and exchanging testimony, it was the most rewarding feeling I think I've ever had. And it has been worth it. One of my dearest friends for 30 years lost her husband this week to cancer. I was able to attend the funeral yesterday and was taken back to 16 years ago when my own husband, Mark Mulford, died. And the total feeling of such grief and misery, I was overcome with such sadness as I knew what she was going to be experiencing these next few years. And then this morning, feeling so thankful for the law of opposition, that we're here to experience joy and misery, pain and happiness. But we can't feel one without the other. There's no way I could have felt that exquisite joy in Hawaii observing my children if I hadn't experienced the exquisite pain of years before. How thankful I am for our Father in Heaven's plan, for the ability we have to grow and progress. I'm thankful for you ward members who have been so good to our family. As you teach my children, which we're down to two at home, we don't know what to do with ourselves. This is so easy. I want you to know I pray for you every day, because you're taking care of part of me. I love our bishop and his counselors and their families. I'm grateful to be a member of the church. I'm thankful for my testimony, which I tell you, I know God lives. He hears our prayers. I know his son is the Redeemer. And I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost, which guides me along. And I pray that each of us will, in the end, despite the opposition and adversity we face, choose the peace that comes from following the gospel. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Colton Stoddard. I just wanted to get up here and bear my testimony today because my family and I, we went to Canada this week. And whenever we go somewhere on vacation, whenever we take a road trip, we like to read a book. And this week we rode The Hiding Place. And for those of you who haven't read The Hiding Place, I highly recommend that book. It was an incredible book to read. It's about a Dutch family during World War II. And basically what happens is this Dutch family helps hide some Jews, and they basically help anyone who comes into their home. And some of the family gets sent to some of the internment camps there in Germany. But what I found amazing about this book, what I've been thinking about all week while we're reading this, is how incredibly Christ-like this family was. They're, just to give you a short example, they were a poor family. The father was a watchmaker, and they had, I think, four or five kids, but they also adopted, had lots of foster children, so they had lots of kids. And this father, he was a watchmaker, and he, reading this book, he was the most Christ-like man. I want to be just like this man. He, at one point in the story, they were talking about their competitors. So the main character, her name is Cornelia Ten Boom, and she was talking about how she was talking to her father about these competitor watchmakers who are in the same little town as them in Harlem, and she was saying how frustrating it is because the Khan family, these watchmakers and these watch sellers, they would come over and they would talk to the father and they'd be all friendly and they would get prices. Basically, what they were doing is getting prices, and then they would have their prices about $5 lower or so. And then Cornelia would go to her father and she would say, "Dad, don't you see that they're just coming over here and getting prices?" And he would say, "Oh, they're selling them for $5 less. That's so great. People will save money if they go and buy from them." And he was so sincere about this. He was so happy that people would go save money if they went and bought from these other watchmakers. But this man and his wife, they were so Christ-like, and it showed in their children what happens when you have a Christ-centered home. And it also made me think about the scriptures, and I hope that we all read the scriptures at some time in our lives, and I hope that we read them daily. But have any of you ever thought about when you read about Nephi or Helaman or King Abinadi, any of these people that you read about, do you ever think that your life could be like those men and women in the scriptures that we read about, that you could see the miracles that they see and that you could experience the experiences that they do? Because I've never really thought about that before. And this week when we were reading The Hiding Place, there was one point when Cornelia and her sister were in an internment camp, and her sister was really sick. So they had a little bottle of vitamins, and she was trying to stretch that bottle as far as she could because she wanted her sister to, she was really sick, and so she wanted all the nourishment that she could give her sister, and her sister kept sharing these vitamins with everybody in the camp that she could, and she was, even though she was sick, she was trying to give them to everybody else, which frustrated her sister because she wanted her sister to be okay. And something that she eventually thought was she couldn't understand why these vitamins weren't running out. No matter how many people her sister gave these vitamins to, they just never ran out. There was always another drop of vitamins. And then whenever they kept trying, there was another drop of vitamins. And it just kept on going like this. And her sister even said during the story, she said, "This is something that happens in the scriptures thousands and thousands of years ago. This isn't something that happens to us now where our Father in heaven will keep this bottle full." And it amazed her that, and it amazed me reading this story that, you know, if we really do have a Christ-centered life, if we really do have a Christ-centered home, we won't necessarily have vitamins and a fridge full that will never empty. That's not necessarily what will happen, but we will see miracles in our life, and we do see miracles in our lives every day. It's just sometimes they're a lot smaller than that. I know that if we live a Christ-centered life, that we will be blessed. He really is there to bless us, and I really do recommend this book because they are an incredibly good example to everybody of how to live a Christ-centered life, how to invite everybody into your home and into your lives that comes to you for help. They were an incredible family, and I love that book. But I know that if we live a Christ-centered life, and if we fill our home with scripture study and with prayer and with constant talk about the gospel, that we will be blessed for that, and we will see miracles, whether they're large, like a never-emptying vitamins, or whether they're just small. I know that we will see miracles in our life, and I'm so grateful for the gospel. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I couldn't think of anything else better to do with my time, so I thought I'd just bear my testimony. It seems like when I was younger, I thought that the older I'd get, the smarter I'd be, the more independent I'd be. But the reality of the situation is that the more I grow, and I don't grow this way anymore, more that way, but the older I get, the more I realize that I can't do this without the Spirit of the Lord in my life, and I can't do this without my covenants, and that I am weak, and I need that strength that comes from the Spirit. And I felt that this week. I felt overwhelmed. I felt weak. I don't know if you ever feel that. Burdened. By the heavy demands that come from being a father. And weak. And as we went to Spencer's ceiling, you all know Spencer. Maybe not all, but some of you know Spencer. And we sat in the ceiling room with family, and we felt that love, and we heard the words of that ceiling and the blessings that come. And I was able to watch Spencer and see the joy that he felt, and I felt that joy. And the thought came to my mind, if the Lord will fulfill his promises to Spencer, he can fulfill his promises to me. As we and as you make covenants, and as those around you watch you make covenants, and as those around you watch you keep your covenants, others around you that watch you do this will feel hope. And I felt that hope as I watched Spencer make that covenant and see the promises that come from our Father in heaven fulfilled in his life, and realize I have those same promises and that all will be well. The Savior is real. We have access to his grace, which strengthens us. He gives us power. We have access to the Holy Ghost, which also strengthens us and gives us power and gives us the ability to go forward. I testify of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I am Tammy Hill's husband, Jeff Hill. Something that the bishop said really resonated with me, and I always hear these people that they have to bear their testimony, they have to get out of their seat, and for me, I wouldn't dream of taking extra time when Tammy had already taken our family's time for a testimony meeting, but I felt to share with you my testimony today. The bishop said something that resonated with me particularly. He said, "What are the odds?" I love numbers. And one of my wonderful quirks is I love to figure out what the odds are about any particular thing. What are the odds that it's going to rain today, or what are the odds? Now, I'd like to share my testimony of a few things that the odds are really good about. The first, what are the odds that God cares about us and will influence our lives in specific, meaningful ways? I testify that the odds are 100% because I've experienced that. There's a lot of times when I feel inspiration and I don't know, is that inspiration just my thoughts or the Lord or the Spirit of God? I get up every morning early. I make myself stay in bed until at least 4. But I get up and I walk up to the Bonneville Shoreline Trail and I pray out loud. And I know Brother Holdaway has stopped me a few times, wondering who that person is, walking up at 4:30 in the morning. And almost every day I feel inspiration. Now, the odds of that being divine inspiration versus my own, I don't know, maybe 60%, 70%. I don't know what the odds are. But there have been times when I've known that the revelation came from God. One of those times, I won't go into a lot of detail, was in the Nauvoo Temple when I received direct revelation from God that Tammy was to be my wife. And she had it at the same time. And because of that knowledge, the 100% sure, through our 11 year of marriage, I've never looked back. I've been in 100%. As Tammy mentioned, we went to the funeral of a dear friend yesterday. What are the odds that life continues after death? I testify to you that the odds are 100%. That is something that I know. I've had that experience a couple of times as people pass away. When my first wife, Juanita, passed away, we could feel that experience. We could feel her spirit leave her body. It was a visceral feeling. It was something that was inside that we knew. We knew that she continued to live. It was interesting in the few days before she passed away, why we talked about it, and I said, you know, when you get over there, I'd really like a safe arrival call. You know, could you just let me know that you're there and you're safe? And I was wondering what form that would take, and I didn't have to wait very long. About 12 hours after she passed away, I was headed up to the airport to pick up my mother-in-law, and clear as a bell, I got that safe arrival call. It was the voice of Juanita in my mind and my heart, and I knew it was her. What did she say? What was the profound thing she said? She said, Jeff, turn off the lights. I went back in the house. I turned off 17 lights in the house. But I testify to you that I know that life goes on after this. And that knowledge makes us all in. What else do I know? I know 100%, the odds are 100% that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for us, that he desires us to come back to him. If I can just share one brief other experience. Generally, in my church career, I've had a calling that requires me to do a lot of stuff and to really be connected. I have to be connected. And I don't right now. And I've found that my scripture studying has slipped a little bit. You know, it seems like I have more time. I ought to do it better. Tammy has been really good to keep me going to the temple every week. She's such a great example in all of those ways. But I realized about a week ago, about right before we went to Hawaii, I knew all of these things, but was I all in? Was I all in? Was I really living the life that I should if I know that God lives, that he guides our lives, that that there's the atonement of Jesus Christ? And so I've decided I'm all in. I'm going to be studying the scriptures, and I have been the last 10 days or so, really diligently, not to check off, not to just read so many pages, but to really learn from them. I'm going to try to go to the temple and stay awake in the temple and have that be a really responsible. I don't know. I usually don't bear testimonies like this and I feel like I'm starting to ramble. So I'll close this down by saying, what are the odds? The odds are 100%. I testify that God cares about us and will guide our lives. What are the odds? I testify 100% that life continues after this life. What are the odds? 100% that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for us. He wants us to live again with him. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Rick Grapes. It seems like the theme of the meeting today is, you know, what are the odds, miracles, things like that. Some of you know that I was born premature, and what are the odds that a baby that was 1 pound, 12 ounces would be like me? I've experienced many miracles in my life. Some of you will remember, it was about 10, 12 years ago when I was riding my little CH80 scooter to church. Last week, Dan Broadbent asked me, you know, are you still riding your scooter? And I said, no, it hasn't. I haven't been able to start it for a couple of years, and I need to get it running again. And anyway, so I'm now in a car, so beware. But a couple years ago, I was riding my little scooter to church, and some of you remember this. I had a little accident, and I was riding down Provo Canyon Road, right that intersection due east of the high school, west of the high school, right by that car wash, above Will's Pit Stop, where the road goes up to above Will's Pit Stop. And I remember seeing a car all banged up on the side of the road. And I remember thinking to myself, I need to stop and call 911. And then I remember seeing a bunch of men standing around talking, and I thought, oh, everyone's okay, no one's hurt, we're good. And then the light turned red, and I remember swearing under my breath because the light turned red. And the next thing I know is I'm waking up in the middle of the street. I'm flat on my back. And this guy, I begin to sit up, and this guy, you know, says, no, lie down, don't move. And I went, my neck is killing me. And he said, I said, I need to take my helmet off. And he said, I've already taken your helmet off, just lay quiet. And then the ambulance came and picked me up and blah, blah, blah. What had happened was a drunk 18-year-old kid driving southbound on Provo Canyon Road took out a power pole. And with the power pole down, the power line from that pole over to the car wash across the street was drooping across the street. And it caught me in the neck and threw me off my bike. Now, we've been talking about miracles. Why didn't Heavenly Father inspire me to take a different route to avoid that altogether? I don't know. But I do know that there were many, many, many miracles that day. If I had been going a little bit faster, I would have lost my head. If the power line was charged, I would have been electrocuted. If I hadn't been wearing my helmet, which my sister will tell you, I often didn't wear my helmet. Who knows what brain damage I could have experienced. So yes, Heavenly Father did not help me avoid the problem altogether. Fine. But he also gave me multiple realizations of many miracles that happened during that day. And that's the way life is, isn't it? Heavenly Father doesn't let us shelter ourselves away like monks to be protected and experience no negative experiences at all. He lets us experience the good and the bad so that, as was said earlier, we can know we can recognize the good because of the bad that we experience. That is the purpose of life. And I could go into other, you know, we've all had so many times happen in our lives where we can identify things that, you know, there's where Heavenly Father ran interference for me. You know, there is where Heavenly Father interceded in my life and guided me in a certain way. We all have had those experiences. And the struggle in life is remembering those experiences that we know are true, like was just talked about, versus being overwhelmed by the fact that Heavenly Father didn't inspire me to go down University Avenue instead of Provo Canyon Road. I don't know. Anyway, I guess the gist of my testimony is that God is real, that our Heavenly Father loves us, that Jesus is our Savior, and that the experiences that we have in our life, depending on the point of view from which we approach life, can influence us to follow a good path or a bad path. And it's our decisions what we do. I have not always followed a good path. I don't think any of us have. But all of that aside, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the one way to go that basically gives us the biggest bang for the buck. And I guess that's a crude way of expressing it, but I honestly can't see any other way where we can get so many blessings in so many different ways, dealing with so many different issues, other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful blessing if we allow it to be. I'm really grateful for all of you and for your friendship and your kindness to me and to my sister and her family. And all of this I pray and say in Jesus' name, amen.
The bishop just turned to me and said, take my time, but that's dangerous. Sometimes when I get talking, I get talking. But as I've listened to all of these testimonies today, my heart's been filled. I've been touched spiritually. I felt the love of our Heavenly Father. And I feel like I just need to come up and publicly tell my Heavenly Father that I do love Him, and I know He loves us. I know He loves each of us. I know He knows us. I know He knows me. And He helps me. And He teaches me. I'm grateful for His Son. I'm grateful for the gospel. I'm grateful for temples. I love temples. I'm grateful for the scriptures. And the strength it gives me. I'm grateful for the knowledge of eternity and happiness and families and love. I feel love. I feel joy. I'm so grateful for everything that I have. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. We will close this meeting now by singing hymn number 4, Truth Eternal, following which the benediction will be offered by Sister Linda Anderton.
Father in heaven, we are grateful for this meeting and for the chance to bear our testimonies. We're so grateful for our bishopric and ask you to bless them for all the things that they take care of for us. We thank you for the sacrament and for that sacred ordinance where we have some healing done for us and have a chance to renew our covenants. We pray that thou wilt bless the teachers, and we're so thankful for all the teachers. We pray that thou wilt bless them, that thy spirit may guide them and inspire them as they teach, so that we may gain the truth of, and part of the gospel will be renewed in our lives. We pray for these things and ask thee to bless us now and dismiss us with thy blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.